מתחיל לטווין פרשס פנחס.
Parshas Pinchas. The beginning of the parsha, everyone knows the first few words, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, but the Torah goes through the lineage of Pinchas and Zimri. The Torah tells us, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshev eschamosim al bnei Yisrael. And the next pasuk says that Pinchas got the bracha of Shalom. Who did he kill? The Sheim ish hamuka shuka samidyonis Zimri ben Solon usi beisov lashimoyni. The Torah tells us we have a zealous man. We have Pinchas, the Kanoi, who comes from Shevet Levi. And we have Zimri who comes from the Shevet of Shimon. And all the Mefarshim wonder what is the relevance of knowing that Pinchas came from Levi, Shimon, Zimri comes from Shevet Shimon. What's the messages over here? I want to share with you a very profound and deep idea that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky builds in a few different places. In Parshas Vayishlach, in Parshas Vayechit, understand the depth of the message that the Torah is giving us here with the connection of Shimon and Levi. Where's the first time we find Shimon and Levi be connected? Shechem, the story when their sister Dina is captured or is convinced to be with Shechem, and they are very passionate and rightly so, passionately upset, what's happening? Shetimu es dina achoysam. Says the Torah there, Vayi b'yim ashlishi b'yosem koyavim, Vayikhu shnei b'nei Yaakov, Shimon and Levi. Oh, we find Shimon and Levi working together in unity. Shimon and Levi coming over here, and they take their sister Dina, the brothers of Dina, Ishcharboi, they take their swords, Vayevoyu Elohir, Vayaru Kol Zochu. Yaakov Avinu is unhappy with this Hanhoga. Yaakov Avinu didn't feel they had to go so outright, so extreme. And Yaakov Avinu, in Parshas Vayechi, gives his sons, Shimon and Levi, a little bit of Musa. He gives them a little bit of reprimand. What sort of behavior was this? And he says the following words, Shimon v'Levi achim, Shimon and Levi are brothers, k'lei chomos mechiriseim, v'soidom al tovei nafshi. And the pasuk continues, in pasuk Zayin, bereishis peik memtes, oror apom ki ozev v'evrosom ki koshoso. And then, we say a few words, achal keim, I will spread them out. Where will I spread them out? Where will the Ribbono Shel Olam spread out Shimon and Levi? Rashi explains what's going on over here. Says Rashi, Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Zayin, Chalkeim b'Yaakov afitzem b'Yisrael. Says Rashi, Afridim zemizeh, one pshat is I'll separate them. Other pshat is Rashi, Ein lo chaniyim v'soifrim umlamdi tinoikas. Elo m'shimon, I'm going to make them umlamdi tinoikas and soifrim. I'm going to make them, those are the ones that are going to teach Torah, that don't get paid necessarily the best wage. They're the ones which have a life of traveling from town to town, fixing tashmishik dusha, teaching mishnayas and Torah to the generation. That's what is going to happen to them. They're going to be wandering around the world. And Levi will also wander for Trumas and Maestras. This is the message that Yaakov Avinu gives to Shimon and Levi for their behavior. Asks Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what's the midah k'neged midah? Shimon and Levi may have been overpassionate. They may have didn't have to kill the whole of the Zecharim in Shechem. Rabbi Yaakov Avinu wasn't happy with it. So now he's saying, okay, because of that, you're going to be wandering around the world, you're not going to be fixed, you're going to become a Lamdei Tinoikas. What's the message? Says Reb Shimon Schwab, the most beautiful idea. He says as follows. He says a person has a child. He has a child, for example, that likes talking. They can't stop talking. It's not only children. Some other genders may have those similar attributes. He has this child who's growing up, and he's talking, and he's very persuasive. We may even call him manipulative, this child. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, how are you mechanech this child? How do you build this child? Do you knock him and say, you're talking too much? Do you say to him that you're an embarrassment to our family? Do you say to him, listen, Yankala, you have such an amazing power of speech. You're going to be an amazing speaker one day. You're going to be able to mechazik people. You're going to be able to go and inspire people. Yankala, we have a Sheva Brachas coming up now. Maybe prepare something to speak. Find a joke, find something to speak. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the first thing is Yaakov Avinu saw something which he wasn't happy about. He says, okay, how can I build my children Shimon and Levi? They have a zealousness, they have a passion. They have a drive which has taken them over the limit. Okay, so what am I going to do with that? You know what? I'm going to guide them to be Melamdei Tinoikas, which is one of the hardest jobs in the world. To travel from town to town, to teach Torah to children which may be always not so interested, maybe getting a wage which isn't the best. But if you have a passion for that, then you can do that. Says Yaakov Avinu, that's what I want Shimon and Levi to use their passion for. To achieve greatness, to achieve a proper use of their personality and their koiches. Question is, asks Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says, if that's the case, well, what happened? Look at this week's parsha. Didn't really work, did it? The zealousness, the kanos of Pinchas came from Shevet Levi. But where did Shimon go wrong? Shimon and Levi were put together. Shimon were the ikar ones that were told to be Moser Torah. Where did Shimon go wrong that there? Enikel Zimri was the one that unfortunately fell to such an Isoyah. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Vayichi, the first piece was in Parshas Vayishlach. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Vayichi, he says very simple. He says, there's one secret in order to be Matzliach. And I'll explain you his yesod with the following story. With a true story, there was a man, a rich man, a person that was a philanthropist, and he would help people whenever he could financially. And this man comes to him, he says to him, listen, I need financial help, can you please help me? And he lends him a substantial amount of money. For 2 years, the time comes, he says, can I have the money? He starts ignoring him, can imagine, he doesn't pay him back. And it reaches a stage where he feels he has to call him to Beis Din. He calls him to Beis Din. And the man blatantly denies that he ever borrowed the money. The man says, I never borrowed money. I don't know what you're talking about. And this rich man is fuming. Not only did I lend you money from the goodness of my heart, and nobody else would lend you money. You haven't paid me for years and you blatantly deny it. He went to Shul. And in front of Shul, he says, I'm not worried about my money. What I'm worried about is, how can somebody lie like that? How can somebody lie so blatantly? I can't get over this. A few years later, this rich man bangs on the bima and he says, I'd like to apologize to Rabbim for embarrassing this yid, which I lent money to. They asked him, why are you apologizing now? He says, I'll tell you why. He said, I was just now in a distant town and I was there involved in a similar story. The only difference was I wasn't the one that lent the money. And I see the exact carbon copy of my story. The man lent money. He denies that he borrowed the money. He swears falsely. And what happened? It didn't bother me so much. I didn't feel the passion to bang on the bima and to say, what's going on over here? This is unacceptable behavior. This is a chilul Hashem. I didn't finally feel that passion. Then I realized. He says, my judgment call then, when I couldn't be civil, his unjustified behavior, that was because of my own negius. It wasn't really up in Torah. Then I really understood what I was really feeling. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, kanos is beautiful, but it has to be ruled, it has to be governed by Torah. It has to be under the parameters of Torah, under the jurisdiction of Das Torah. Levi were the Shevet that kept the Torah, learning Torah through all the Matzovim. Shevet Levi managed to harness that kanos within the parameters of Torah. Hence, a Pinchas came out of that. Sheikin Shimon, says the Yaakov Kamenetsky, Shevet Shimon didn't have that connection to Torah that Levi did. And unfortunately, they drifted astray. With this, we have the beautiful understanding why the Torah here traces the lineage of Pinchas and Zimri back to the Shvatim, understand the koichas and the secret behind it, the power, the koich that they both had, and Yaakov channeled it in the right direction with creative chinuch. But one of them, Levi, that held into parameters of Torah was Matzliach, and Shimon wasn't when it came to Zimri.
Why not
Shevet Levi, very good question. You ask why Shimon? No, answer is, if we look in Chazal, and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains this in his idea, he says Levi were the Shevet that managed, weren't tied down to other avodas. They managed to learn Torah b'shleimus. They managed to have that purest connection to Torah because they were the ones that had to work in Mitzrayim. Straight away after this, the Shvatim came down to Mitzrayim, and Shevet Levi were the ones that, because of their connection to Torah, managed to hold on to that pure connection to Torah without any other distractions. And that is pure Das Torah. We want to have, I'll elaborate on this Nakuda, we want to have pure Das Torah. It has to be pure. We go to somebody who is life and his whole essence is Torah. That is the person that should be guiding us and how to decide when the margin of kanos is right or when it's off balance.
Maybe was the only Shevet not involved in Eivud.
Sorry? Exactly the same reason. Beautiful. Right. Yes, yes. When you're going on the right direction, you see the signpost guiding that direction. I think Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's idea is very profound, as you have all these riyas to what we're saying. A small idea. What bracha does Pinchas get for his kanos? Hineni noisen es barisi shaloi. Prosecute base. Pinchas gets the bracha of shaloi. And if we look in the Sefer Torah, the vav of shaloi is cut in half. The vav of shaloi is cut in half. Many different ideas. Why is that vav of shaloi not the shlemus? So the Maral Diskin says an idea. He says that if we look at the Vav of Shalom, Shion is 300. There was 300 Kehanim Gedolim in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, and there was 80 Kehanim Gedolim by the Bais Rishon. And says Maral Diskin that this is the idea which shows us that in the Bris of Shalom we have the message of the different Kehanim Gedolim. But Rav Franz says an idea. I want to show you this idea. He says as follows. He says, if we look at the Yimei Bereishis, when the Bereishis created the world, in most days of creation it says, Vayar Elikim Kitoiv. By the second day, it doesn't say that. Why? Because the Mefarshim explain that the second day was the day of Havdalah, the day of separation. The day of Havdalah, when you have to separate, sometimes it's the right thing to separate. You have to make separations. We need separations. We need mechitzas. We need that distinction among different things in our lives. Or by the end of the day, that's causing pirud. The end of the day is causing pirud. The Mela, the Torah can't say v'yar ki toiv. It's the right thing to do, but to say ki toiv, we can't say when we have separation. And so too here, the idea we have to remember, of course, even if we have to resort to kanos, even if you have to resort to kanos, we have to remember the end of the day, that's not shalom b'shleimus. We may have to do it as a last resort. The ideal is always to have shalom b'shleimus, to live v'ava v'achva without having to resort to extreme kanos. Moving on to parasha, Perek Chavov, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Torah tells us a bit of the mishpachology of Klal Yisrael. The Torah tells us, "Lezerach mishpachas hazarchi, l'shol mishpachas hashuli." Who was Zerach? Says Rashi, "Utsoicha." Says Rashi brings a very interesting Yerushalmi. Motzasi b'talmid Yerushalmi. The Rishami tells us what happened when Aaron HaKohen died. Kishemeis Aaron nestalko anane kovoid, the anane kovoid went away. Ubo haknanim lelochem b'Yisrael, the knanim came to fight with Klal Yisrael. V'nos nolev lachzel l'mitzrayim, he wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. V'chozru l'achareim, and Klal Yisrael went back. Shmoyne masois, mehoir ha-hor l'moyseira. Klal Yisrael went back all the way back to Meseira, says the Rishalmi. Shenema b'nei Yisrael nosim mebeiris b'nei Yakun Meseira shom meis Aaron. There Aaron died. Abba asks Rashi, the Rishalmi asks the question. There Meseira Aaron died. Where did Aaron die? Aaron died in Hoir Hahor. Asks the Rishalmi, how could it be that the Rishalmi is telling us that Aaron HaKohen died in Moseiro, Aaron HaKohen, everybody knows, died in Hoir HaHor. Says the Rishalmi, that he continues, that everybody knows that he died in Hoir HaHor. Must be that he went backwards. And he explains, they went back. Seven families died. During that battle, when they went back, Levi lost four mishpachas, and Shimi, Nuzieli, and Memela. There was a loss of Klal Yisrael. There was a loss. Asked of Shimon Shua, but I don't understand. The Rishalmi asks the question that how could it be that they died, that Aaron died in Moseiro. It says Aaron died in Hoir HaHor. Ask the Rishalmi question. Answers the Rishalmi, doesn't seem to answer the question. The Rishalmi just says, they went and there was a battle and Levi lost Mishpachas and there was other Mishpachas that were killed. How have you answered the question? How can Aaron HaKohen die in two places? This Rashi needs an explanation. Rashi here in our parasha needs an explanation. What's the answer? Listen to this idea of Shimon Schwab's, the Tzadik of Rucha says in his profound way. He says, we look in Pirkei Avos, Aaron HaKohen was Oyev Shalom and Roid Shalom. Aaron's whole being was bringing Shalom, peace and unity and tranquility among Klal Yisrael. Comes along Klal Yisrael, and they're on their way. They've just lost Aaron already in Hoir HaHor. They've lost one of the greatest manhigim, Aaron HaKohen, Mashpiyim. They've already had his levaya. They come to Moseiro, and he's died again. Why has he died again? He says, you know why? Because the Rishalmi tells us what happened there. There was a fight. There was people that were killed. There was machloikas. They said, oh, if Aaron HaKohen would have been here today, we would never have had that machloikas. The hashpah that Aaron would have given over to us, overflowed to us, the love of shalom and peace within ourselves, which would need us to prove ourselves to other people, there would never have been this machlokes. Mace Aaron. They appreciated what they lost again. They had a different level of haracha. What does it mean that Aaron HaKohen's not here anymore? We've lost Aaron HaKohen. Says Rav Shimon Schwab. That's what Rosh Hashanah is telling us. Mace Aaron, by that machloikas, Aaron had died again by them. They'd have come to a deep appreciation. What does it mean Aaron's not here? As machloikas in Klal Yisrael now. And this we find in the Gemara and Brochas, Staff Membesim Adbeis. Kinoch nafshi de Rav. When Rav was nifta, kom Rav Adar ba'ava, Adar kari lachuri v'kori kri achrina. There's a second anocha. They're on the way back from the Revaya of Rav, and they had a shayla of Birchas Hamozin, what brocha they should make. And then again, there was an anocha. Oh, we haven't got Rav here with us. Why? Because they came, they lost Rav as their godel, but then it came practically lemaisa. We don't know how to turn. What brocha do we make on this mezonos, on this food? Oh, we do another kriya that Rav's gone. Unfortunately, very often we only appreciate the hashpah of a tzaddik when he's no longer with us. Oh, but we have to remember that when a tzaddik is with us, hu hoida, hu ziva, hu adora, the tzaddik lights the town, the tzaddik's mashpia on the world. It's the energy and the koyach that we're all living from. By the bracha of ala tzaddikim, says the Yaros Dvash, we daven every day Shemini Esrei for the tzaddikim. Why are we davening for the tzaddikim? What's this tefillah of the tzaddikim? Says the Yaros Dvash, you know how our machshava should be for the toiva of the tzaddikim. Ki b'toivosam unuchayim, because of those tzaddikim we have a life. V'chol zman she tzaddikim b'oilam, brocha v'toiva v'chayim b'oilam. Kol zman the tzaddikim are there, there's brocha, toiva, chayim b'oilam. I remember we were in Yeshiva Smir, and Rav Shach was Seif Yomov, and Rav Shach collapsed, and they were assassinating Rav Shach. I remember them banging on the beam in Yeshiva Smir. And we said to Tehillim, we stopped learning, we were saying to Tehillim. Rav Shach was an old man, over 100. Aber hu hoida hu ziva. He was the Pe'er of Klal Yisrael. I remember that year. I remember one of my rebbes saying, it's a different zachreinu l'chaim with a world without a Rav Shach. It's a different world. Just knowing there's somebody like that, such a godel, such a dovuk mentira, it's toiva for all of us. In Brochus, one day, Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer ben Shimon gets a knock on the door, there's 60 sailors there, and each of the sailors are carrying in boxes of treasures, of presents to him. One after the other, 60 of them, he asks, what's going on over here? They said, listen, we were out at sea, and there was a terrible, terrible storm. We were talented sailors, the 60 of us, we knew there was no hope. And then we said, you know what? They davened to Hashem, we said we'd pray to the Almighty. Bizchus Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, save us. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, who was one of the gedolim in that generation, and straight away, miraculously, the sea calmed. They came, they said, we brought you presents to thank you that bizchus you, we were survived. That is a bunch of goyim. There's a bunch of goyim who appreciated the koyach l'ashpoh of a tzaddik. This idea we find in another idea. Tunusrufa Sarosha wanted to kill Rabbi Gamliel. And there was one Roman that liked Rabbi Gamliel and wanted to save him. So he sent him a message that the odin of the af is besakona. The odin, the master of the nose, is besakona. He sent him a coded message that nobody should realize. That the odon of the nose is besakona. And Rabbi Gamliel understood through this, Rabbi Gamliel understood that life was dangerous, that he was under attack. Why? Says the Marsha, that every part of our body resembles a different chelek of Klal Yisrael. Says the Marsha, what's the nose? What's the koyach of the af? He says, by Odom Arishon, when Rabbi Hashem created the Odom, it says, by Yipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim. The Apov, the nose, that is where the Nishmas Chaim comes. That's where the Rabbi Hashem gives Chaim through. He says, the gedolim of Klal Yisrael are like the nose, they're the nishmas chayim of Klal Yisrael. That the neshama, that the breath of our breath, can be pihem onu chayim. That was the message. That was the message. Rab Gamliel, you're the af of Klal Yisrael. The other, you're besakona. Come and help Klal Yisrael. Moving on to the parsha, Perek of Zion, Pasuk Yud Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu, unfortunately for him, was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael, but you can at least have a look. You can have a look at what you're going to miss. Says the Pasuk. Vayim Hashem el Moshe, Ale el Har HaVorim, go up to Har Nevoi. Have a look at Yisrael, Asher Nasati Libnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, go up, look, appreciate, have a look to Eretz Yisrael. Continues the pasuk, the next pasuk. V'ra'iso iso v'nasafto lamecha. Ask Sayyid Rechaim HaKadosh a very profound. Ask the Rechaim HaKadosh, why does it say twice V'ra'iso? The pasuk, the first pasuk says V'ra'i es ha'oret, see Eretz Yisrael. Next pasuk again, V'ra'iso iso. Ask the Rechaim HaKadosh, why does the Torah, why is the Bereshit and the Moshe twice look V'ra'iso, have a look, see. The Rechaim answers the most amazing idea, and I'll build on the following story. The Rav of the old city, Yerushalayim, some of you may know him, Rav Avigdor Neventhal, Shabbi Gesund, Odom Godel, Talmud Chochem, finished his Shas, I'm not sure how many times a year. Anyway, there was construction work that was being done near his house. And believe it or not, imagine our dream. Our dream, if somebody says to us, you know what, I have a flat in the old city overlooking the coastal. Overlooking the coastal there. I'd like to give this flat to you. I'd like to lend this flat to you. Can you imagine going there to Seoul? You get up in the morning and you see the coastal. You connect to the Shekhinah. Amazing. So Rabbi Neventhal had such a flat in the old city. And one day there's construction work and they're starting the building, and which is a building which is going to be blocking his view to the coastal. So they went to him, they said to him, are you upset about it? Do you want us to try and stop it? Listen to what he answered. He said, I've been looking every day out my window at Churban. Now I'll be able to see Binyan. Now I'll be able to see building. Till now all I was seeing was a Churban. I want to see building. What Rav Avigdor teaches us is that we can look at something and we can look at something. We can look at something with a gashmias digger eye and see a gashmias digger picture, but we can look at it to a deeper level. We can look at it with a ruchnias digger look. Says the Erechaim, unbelievable. He says, Rabbeinu Shem says to Moshe, have a look. Eretz Yisrael, you'll see the beauty, you'll see the Eretz of Aschol of Advash, you'll see the Yofi, Yerei Betuv Yerushalayim, the beauty that Eretz Yisrael encompasses, everything within it, which we can see a little bit of today. The Yofi of Eretz Yisrael, the beauty, the Gashmistic of beauty. Then the Rebbe says, Moshe Rabbeinu, look again. Look at Eretz Yisrael, look at the Ruchnistic messages. The Rechaim uses a beautiful lotion. He says, the second Re'iyah is saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, look in a deeper way. He says, look, Herei Hashem Re'iyah Nisis Masha'ein Koyach B'Shir Ayin Tivis. Look at a way that your regular eye can't see. Lirois Boir Hashem Ezulas Boir Agonis Kedua. And what does he call it? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, V'ri'iso iso ki yoy lefon of Eir HaChaim. Eir HaChaim, says the Rechaim. The Rebbe says to Moshe, look at the Eir HaChaim. Look at the real messages that Israel has to offer. The beauty of Ruchnius. The beauty of living with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in a Admas Kodesh. That is what the second Re'iyah is about. And in life, we have choices. We have the same choices. We can look at a situation with a Gashmis Diga look, and we can look at a situation with a Ruchnius Diga look. In everything, it's like that. It's up to us how we want to perceive things with our eyes. In Shmuel Aleph, and David HaMelech was bereach to Maras Edlam, people came to him for chizuk. The pasuk says, "Vayiskabtzu elov kol ish motzoik." Every man in distress found his way to David HaMelech. V'chol ish asher lo inosho. People that owed money, that had creditors, they were scared, they would come to David HaMelech. V'chol ish mar nefesh, all the depressed souls would come to David HaMelech. Says Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zichro Tzadik Livracha, from the Adam of Alexander, he says, what's going on over here? What's the message of this pasuk? He says, you know what it is? He says, why is the pasuk repeating itself ish the whole time? Ish asher l'nosho, ish mar nefesh, ish motzeg. What's ish? Ish. What's the message of ish? Says the Adam Alexander, he says, David HaMelech had a secret. He could see inside everybody their ish, the chelika ish of them. Could see deeper, not just to the outer appearance. To see the beauty, the pnimius. David HaMelech was the one. But the Rebbeinu Shalom says, Ha'odem yirele naim v'amshem yirele alevov. The person looks at the outside appearance. The Rebbeinu Shalom looks at the lev. David HaMelech was yafei naim. David HaMelech had beautiful eyes. What does it mean having beautiful eyes? Having eyes that can see the depth. Having eyes that can see the pnimius. That is what David HaMelech saw. And that is why we find Amoraim would dance with the Hadas. Merakid Atlas would take Hadasim, Badshel Hadas, and would dance with the Hadas. Why would they dance in front of the color with the Hadas? We dance with the Hadas because the Hadas is a real big paradox. We know that taking the Dalet Minim, there's the Esrog, there's the Lulav. Connected our bodies. The Esrog is the heart. How many hearts do we have? One heart. The Lulav is the spine. We have one spine. The Arovas, there's two Arovas. There's a person with two lips. The Hadassim are the eyes. We have three eyes. Right? That's why there's three Hadassim. Two eyes. So why do we have three Hadassim? Why do we have three Hadassim if there's two eyes? You know why? Because we need the third eye. The two eyes are the regular eyes that look at things in a ruch, in a gashmis digger way, but then we have to have the third eye to see it with a deeper meaning. To take a situation in our life and see the ruchnius within it. The message, the chizuk, the inspiration within that, that's the Hadass. That's the two re'iyas. That the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, Re'eyas Oretz and Vero'isa Oisa. The Torah continues that Benois Telofchot come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, listen, we have no father, we need a Yerusha, please help us. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Manik Shel Klal Yisrael, the Moshe HaTorah says, I can't help you. I'm lost. I can't help you. I don't know what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Perek of Zion, Pasuk Hei, Vayakir Moshe Esh Mishpoton Lifnei Hashem. Says Rashi, why would Moshe no Paskin? Nisalmo Halocha Mimenu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the Halocha. Nisalmo Halocha Mimenu. And Rashi gives an explanation why Moshe didn't know the Halocha. I want to share with you an idea. Shimon Schwab brings this from his father, the Chofetz Chaim Al HaTorah brings this down, and others bring this idea down. The Kobi Zalman Sirotsky and Zamator also brings this idea down. They say very simple. They say, Echap. They say, what did B'nai Tzilofchot said to Moshe? They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, part of their opening speech was, Avinu Meis Bamidbo, He died in the midbar. Who lo yohayo b'seichayid anoydim al Hashem v'adas Kirach. He wasn't part of Kirach. They're talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the other party. I go, no. Our father wasn't part of Kirach. I don't think he was from the opposite team. He's part of your team. Say all these mafarshim, Chavetz Chaim, among others. No. Moshe said, I can't pass on this anymore. I'm the Gabadova. They've already told me that he was one of my staunch chassidim. No, I can't paskin anymore. I wouldn't paskin. The Bereshim has to paskin. A very nice teretz. Comes along this Naim LaTorah and he says, no. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't paskin. Okay, so send it to somebody else. Why do you have to go and take it to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? What's this big lomda shashayla? It's a shayla chesh and mishpot. What did he get? Which Eretz Yisrael? Why do you have to run to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Says Reb Zalman Sirotskin in his name, Latira, an unbelievable idea. He says, we're talking about four or five girls, unfortunately unmarried, all the age between 40 and 60, who are coming here. It's such a passionate plea. How can anybody with a heart tell them you can't get land? You should stay in Novanot. Not only haven't they got a father, let them have some land, let them have a Daladamas. Moshe says, I can't, nobody can paskin such a thing. Only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can paskin. Because if anybody else would have paskin, they would have said, you're feeling for them. You were paskining from your emotion, not from your intellect. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have to go and will ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to paskin this day. I want to finish off. We're now in the 3 weeks. Bein HaMetzorin, and our busy lives. Let's reflect for 2 minutes, try to understand the Bissel Avodah Sayyim, the message of Bein HaMetzorim to us. The biggest question I always had is, on Tisha B'Av, what happens on Tisha B'Av? Torah tells us, Chazal tell us, why was the Churban? One of the main reasons was they didn't Bircha B'Torah. There was some lack in their Torah learning. I ask you a question. On Shavuos, Torah didn't get up, the Klal didn't get up early enough, they overslept, so to speak. So we learned Torah all night. As a tikkun for the chisaron on Shavuos, the Klal didn't, correct? So it comes along Tisha B'Av, hold cheshbon. Tisha B'Av is the day, Shle Birch Vatera Tchilo. Klal Yisrael never bent a Torah, there was some appreciation to Torah. Do you know what we do on Tisha B'Av? No Torah. That's amazing. Adarabah. This Tisha B'Av should have been the day where we have a tikkun lil Tisha B'Av learning Torah, the whole night of Tisha B'Av, because Shemei Bircha B'Torah Tchila, the Torah was the cause that there was a Churban. They didn't appreciate Torah, so no, we don't learn any Torah. What's going on? The answer is beautiful. You know, I had once a Talmud who had a very severe reading problem, and I took him to one of the biggest mumchim that are around. And after him assessing this boy, he says, listen. He says, this boy has potential, but for the first stage of him being mishakem, getting him back to be able to read properly, he has to stop davening for 3 months. I looked at this yid. This is a Hasidic yid, with a beard and pale. I said, pardon? You want my Talmud to stop davening for 3 months? He says, yes. I said, why? He says the only way for him to be able to learn to read again is if he steps back and he stops reading. He forgets all the mistakes he has. He has the appreciation. What does it mean to be able to read? Able to daven? Then we can start fresh. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells Klal Yisrael, you want to really appreciate what caused the Churban? Stop learning Torah. Don't learn Torah today. See how it feels like without that Geshmak Adav Gemara. See what it feels like without your neshama being nourished by words of Torah. And that, Be'ez Hashem, will give you the appreciation for what we have. For what we're going to have, Metzion Bekorov. We should be zoicha to have the binyan Be'ez Hamikdash, Metzion Simcha, V'nachas Bekorov, Mamash.
Amen.